adventure. A path paved with bravery and treachery. A pursuit of hope. One that a hero must tread. And with the evils of this world only growing stronger, the time is now for a new adventure to begin. The battle rages on. The search for their champions continues. Is there anyone who is willing to put forth their own life?
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but it's getting a little serious, so we're going to go on to the next section. I hope you understand. Sorry, thanks.
Yeah.
Roll the sound bite.
I'm a real boy.
The douchebags are back with a brand new adventure, a new land to explore, and a new intro that's totally not like the last one. In the pursuit of sweet crit rolls and the coolness that comes with it, they are the tabletop champions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions. I'm Lauren, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Stephanie, who plays Raquel.
Ahoy, hoy, darlings.
Oh, Sean, who plays Lisan.
Guys, my delts and my quads and my scoots. I've been hitting the gym. Good to go.
Good to go. Kyle, who plays Erpax.
There hasn't been a quotable Simpsons quote in 15 years.
Matt, who plays Fennel?
Have you seen the new Karate Kid movie? It is sensational.
Boo. And Benny plays thrown it.
I panicked, okay?
It's okay.
I'm very interested in farming.
It's a throwing field. That's not even a D&D pun. What are we doing? Where have we gone wrong? This is why America is not the greatest country anymore.
It's because of us?
Yes.
Are you saying we should be impeached?
Yes. Oh,
nope.
new podcast. Who dis? All right.
I'm joining Lauren on a new podcast. Fuck all y'all.
Just change the feed name.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right. So, who had fun last week? Because I sure as hell did.
Much fucking fun.
Okay. I had a blast. And Lisan had a... Well, he got blasted probably, but... so last week...
He was blasted. They blasted my delts and my quads and my scoots.
Lisan wasn't the only one that got blasted. That one assassin.
A lot of things happened last week. So let's recap it real fast. So you guys started off in the lovely establishment that Raquel calls home, and others call it Maison Derrière. It's the hottest entertainment center in Aramel's Rest. Except there may have been a slight alcohol poisoning incident, and some people got stabbed, and some got chained, but that was consensual. In a panic of trying to get Throden back on his feet, Raquel fed him his own mushrooms that were growing on his back. However, she didn't realize or really care that Lisan managed to start cultivating his own mushrooms on Throden's back. Sometime after the group was finally able to recover from their fight and found everyone, Throden went on a trip. While experiencing his, Lisan quickly convinced everyone that this is a spiritual journey, and everyone needed to take this together, so they all took a mushroom.
So we consumed. Have about 20 minutes before it sets in, right? It set in for Throden.
For Throden. Throden's on his little trip, so by the time he's done with his, you guys will be on yours.
So I would pull out a drum, a little small little hand drum, and I would we should probably do this somewhere outside. Maybe light up a bonfire, get comfortable for the evening.
So
this ain't my first rodeo, kid.
You say that now. I'm curious to see you in a little bit and the things you will show me.
So while you're doing this, there's a bunch of people who are still throwing up, recovering from being poisoned. There's people running in and out trying to figure out what happened. Primarily Kailito and his group. They're trying to clean up and figure out what's going on. Throden, make me a constitution saving throw.
All right. My saving throws were on point last time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah, they were.
18.
All right, so your trip's not that bad. Throden, on your trip, because that's essentially what we're going to call it, you were face-to-face with an entity covered in dark crow feathers and a pale porcelain face. You could see her lips moving, but you can't hear anything that she's saying. And she reaches out and taps your forehead, and you are falling, plummeting. And you land into something spongy, soft. And you get up, you look around, and you are in a field of mushrooms. And they are brightly colored with different sizes surrounding you. And you get up, and something just tells you to start walking. And so you do. So you start walking in this forest of mushrooms. And it gets, in some areas, it's a little bit denser than others. And you see creatures you've never seen before, like slugs with mushrooms growing on its back and things like that. And eventually you get to a clear opening, and it's like the mushrooms have made a giant circle around a massive tree stump. And it, when I say massive, it's like someone just cut the top off of a tree, or it's been cracked off. So it's not necessarily a stump, but there's no top to the tree, and it is old and graying and dying. And as you get closer, a bolt of lightning jumps down and hits this giant tree, and it catches on fire, and embers are growing inside of it, in the middle of it. And eventually the embers burrow out into an opening, and you hear a lithe voice say, "Come find me," and darkness. That's your trip. Congratulations.
Okay.
It's great. Great times.
Lison is going outside.
Lison is leading the way outside.
Lighting a fire by a tree.
Okay.
So you guys just leaving Throden?
No, I would grab Throden. I'm the trip sitter on this. I'm the shaman. No person left behind.
Panic chaos is ensuing in the Maison d'Air. And Lison grabs Throden's hand, and Throden is kind of almost reminds you of one of his own zombies as he leads him out outside.
This is nothing I've never seen before. It's okay. Don't worry about him. We just need to get somewhere comfortable where there's less vomiting and unpleasantness.
Does this happen a lot?
Does what happen a lot?
This look that he's having, like he looks like one of his zombies.
Oh yes, you will be there shortly. Don't you worry, my friend.
There's
you
a little bit of
on the plains.
Sorry, there's a little bit of drool coming out of his mouth now.
I'm concerned.
And his zombie actually follows you, and so you lead him outside into a tree. So Lison and Throden are outside. What is everyone else doing?
Well, I know I took the mushrooms, so I guess if they go outside, I will follow.
Yeah, I'll follow.
I think I'll hang fairly close by as well.
Sean, thank you for this lovely drawing interpretation.
That's where I'm hanging out.
That's where he's hanging out. That's actually really decent for fucking Roll 20. Good job, Sean.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Let's see.
I guess I will be there as well.
It's about the time that you guys start settling down outside around this tree, leaving the chaos and coughing behind you. Arpax, go ahead and make me a constitution saving throw.
Okie doke. Conveniently, I just started opening up my Roll 20.
That's why I call you first. Here.
Oh, bye. I rolled a 4. Oh,
that's going to be a bad trip.
See you later.
Do not fight it. Let it take you.
Nah, this ain't my first.
And there's bright, brilliant colors that just surround you. And neon and purples and pinks and blues and greens and colors you don't even think you've ever recognized before. And then as these colors are flashing quickly, there's faces coming with these colors that eventually... Tendra's face appears with a flash of pink. Votek appears with a flash of blue. Arpax's face shows up. And then an albino tiefling with auburn hair and orange eyes show up and stare you down. And next thing you know, you're kind of like looking around you, and they're all surrounding you and looking down at you. And as you hold up your hands to your eyes to see kind of what's going on, your hands are not that of Arpax's. You are in your original form. and they're all just staring down at you. And for some reason, you feel like they're judging you, but they're not saying anything.
Hmm. Do I have control over myself in any meaningful way, or am I more just experiencing this?
It's more of an experience than anything else. And as they open their mouth at the same time, you hear, "You're not supposed to be here," and they all say it at the same time in their voices. And then as soon as they are there, they're gone, and you see, it's like I'm trying to think of how best to describe it. It's like you're in a field of green, and you look down, and there's a bright red string on the ground, and you start to follow it, and you're walking. It feels like you're walking forever until you come to a clearing and of nothingness, essentially. But standing in the middle of this is Malil, and he looks at you with concern etched onto his face, and as he starts talking, his face shifts into those of Votek and Tundra and Urpax and this tiefling repeatedly. And then he says, "You're not supposed to be here." And then that's all he says, just on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And that's your trip.
Wow.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Raquel, quick, make me a constitution saving throw.
Sexy.
Nice.
And that's
sorry, I can't
20.
Even see. Oh, 90-20. Nice.
20. Okay. So this is a great trip. Raquel, you're falling into nothingness. And you hear sounds like chanting, maybe? And you hear, "To summon the night, mortal god blood must spill." And as you're falling, you see a spot of light in the distance, and you realize that the chanting is getting louder the closer you're getting to it. "From the mighty dagger that has aimed to kill." Now that as you're getting closer to the light, it dawns on you that it's shining down on something or someone. You can't quite tell. You're still just a little too far. "When the stone set has been complete," a stone slab sits in the middle of the light as you're drawing closer, and you see a few figures surrounding one person. "He will then rise to his feet." The lone individual in the center of the slab looks up, and you see a pained expression on Aramel's face. His mouth is agape, and as a yell is cut off when the dagger is drawn across his throat. Aramel's body thuds to the ground, and blood begins to pool underneath him. Then the chanting begins again. "His shadowed fingers will stretch wide." The blood from Aramel's body drips into indentions into the stone slab, creating a sigil of some kind. The ground sigil flares up and opens up to a black nothingness, swallowing Aramel's body whole. The chanting is louder until it's almost overwhelming as a wide, toothy maw emerges from the sigil, a loud roar echoing around you, and consume all those alive. And that's your trip.
Okay.
That sounds like a bad trip.
Now,
it's a great trip.
We're going through everybody's trip and then acting upon it, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Honestly, Throden, at this point, you're kind of coming back and you see everyone else zoned the fuck out. So
Lisan's still poking a fire.
And it's actually Lisan's turn.
So, question for you. So the constitution saving throw, because of my stuff with it, I would generally just let the drugs take me.
Yeah.
So then would that be an auto fail, or am I doing a save for something different?
It's kind of a save for something different because you haven't, Lisan hasn't messed with this kind of mushroom before.
But
like you have, but it's also cultivated.
I have
cultivated.
The spore from my
thing. You do. Okay. But you grew it from Throden.
Okay, gotcha.
It was another, yeah. And that's the big part of it.
I'm going to use my portent dice, though, at 16 plus my con, so 20.
20, okay. So, Lisan, your trip is a little weird. You find yourself sitting in a massive courtroom. And this courtroom is draped in pastel colors, green, blues, and pinks. As you look around to get an idea of where you're at, you can see that there's a sea of people dressed in colors that match this theme. Their faces are painted white, with red rouge cheeks. They're wearing powdered wigs and brightly colored lipstick. There's yells across the courtroom, a cacophony of accusations. There seems to be like a judge sitting in a massive throne. And the only thing that's standing out from them is they're standing out from their setting. Instead of the light pastel colors, they are draped in crimson red robes and gold trimmed finery. But you can't see their face. It's blocked by a golden mask with no eye holes or a mouth hole. It's just kind of like it's just a face. It's just an outline of a face, really. But there's no defining features on it. You look down and you see that your hands are actually shackled in front of you. The shouting and yelling grows louder and louder until the judge raises a single hand. Silence befalls the room. There's no sounds or movement coming from anyone.
I did not mean to expose myself in public.
All eyes are on the judge. The judge raises a white-gloved hand and points it at an individual that is donned in the similar pastel-themed colors. He opens up a scroll, clears his throat, and says, "This trial is for Lisan Al-Ghaib shall begin immediately. He stands today in trial for..." They pause for a second, scan the room. "Misconduct!" Gasps of outrageousness fill the room, and there's chittering going about. Then accusations begin to fly at you. Someone stands up and points, "Lisan drugged his allies, we've seen it!" Another person stands up and says, "He peer pressured them!" And then someone else stands up and says, "He's punched a child, I've seen it!" And so on and so forth. Fights actually begin to break out as you begin to talk and protest just a bit. The judge holds up their hand once more, and a soft "enough" is uttered. With a wave of the hand, everyone disappears before you, and you're no longer standing in the courtroom. You're standing next to the judge in front of a great, beautiful tree standing tall and strong. The judge turns and looks at you. "Well?"
Says, "Well?"
Yeah.
So everybody in the room disappeared?
Yep, you're no longer...
me and the judge, and I'm no longer on trial, and I'm looking at the tree.
You're looking at the tree, and the judge is standing right next to you, and I slipped up. Whoopsies. Keep going.
Am I able to do anything?
Yeah, you can actually interact with this.
Speak with plants.
Speak with plants.
And okay. I would like to talk to the tree.
Okay.
And I would like to say to it... So I mutter under my breath as I kind of draw the outline of a tree, and I say, "Who are you?"
And the tree doesn't respond, but the judge standing next to you watches you for a moment, and then they remove the mask, and it's the face of a handsome man with long brown hair. He goes, "My child, you have always been looking for me, and now here I am. It is I."
Oh my goodness, I'm still speaking in plant because I haven't dropped the spell yet. And then I drop the spell and I'm like, "Oh my, it's you. You're here."
Of course I'm here.
I have looked for you for so long. Have I followed the path properly? As good as to be expected. I followed the adventures like you showed me.
You did, and I'm so very proud of you. But we must talk about a specific matter. And he clears his throat. You need to give Fennel a break.
What did I do wrong?
You need to respect his boundaries. If you don't respect his boundaries, you will create an enemy with him, and you do not need to do that. In this world, in this day and age, you need as many allies as possible.
You are probably
If his heart says no, and he tells you no, he points to your chest, you need to respect that.
I have, since he said no to me, and I have not pushed any further, though I do hold a lingering flame for him, I will do my best to extinguish it.
He cups your chin just a little bit. You don't have to extinguish anything. Well, that at least. Just respect it. And who knows? maybe he will come to terms with them. Only time can tell, my child.
Traveler?
Yes.
Is there one out there for me?
And then he cups your face, and he kisses your head, and he says, there's always someone out there for you. And then that is your trip.
Okay.
Okay. Boom. All righty, Fennel. Roll me that con save.
Beforehand, I think Fennel would be smart enough to, like, you know, like, get in a position, like, lean against the chair and all that. Not the chair, the tree and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah. Con save. Let's see how this goes.
You know, Lauren, I was half expecting you to have to try to tell Sean. No.
Wait. I'm going to use my 10 on my portent dice. I want to make sure that he is...
Because
I've not forced this on him, but I convinced him.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that he is in a good place as much as possible. So 10 plus your con modifier, Matt.
That is a 2, so 12. Thank you, Sean.
12, okay. Fennel, you close your eyes for a moment. A little bit of panic seeps in, not one that you felt, well, probably one that you felt when the assassin attacked you earlier, but it's just kind of like an adrenaline rush for just a quick moment. And you open your eyes and you see the entirety of Irulan in an aerial point of view, but it's in bright neon colors. Like, the world itself is a neon pink. The oceans of Irulan are an incandescent green, and so on and so forth. And as you view it, as you're watching the world, you see a dark beam of energy shooting from a mountain range and up into the sky. The beam then cones outward and wraps the entire world into a dark black ball. You fly closer to it, and as you get close to the barrier, you hit it hard, and it hurts. You look to your left, and there's a few canaries floating around, and you look to your right, and there's even more. And as you're viewing this, you hear, "What has happened?" And you turn around, and there's a massive, gorgeous dragon flapping its wings behind you. And every time it flaps its wings, it changes colors. It goes from gold to blue to red to purple to silver. It just keeps on changing colors. And, yeah.
Can I respond to it or something like that? Or it's just,
it's like kind of an experience. Okay. And, you see a pained expression on his face, and he plummets from the sky and into the barrier and past the barrier, and the canaries dart after him. You're not sure what happened.
Do I recognize the mountain range where this is at?
Roll me a survival check.
Oh, please work. 23.
Oh, sexy. Oh boy, I'm gonna fucking butcher this. You recognize the mountain range as the Zerigzar. I told you it's gonna butcher.
Leaky tanker.
Zerigzar's spires from that entire mountain range.
Hmm.
And then that is your trip.
Okay then.
So, Throden, are you doing anything while you're recovering from your experience? You have a little bit of a headache, and your throat feels parched. But you look around, and all your allies have their eyes closed, and they are in this journey with you. You're not sure how you got outside. Lauren, are your zombies next to you? Yes, baby?
Can I say that Lison's gone? Like, he wandered off during his trip?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Lison, everyone but Lison is there with you.
Okay.
And your zombie sitting behind you looking confused, if a zombie could look confused.
Yeah, I guess Throden kind of looks around. What is happening?
And no one responds because they're all on a trip. And your zombie just shrugs. And are you doing anything? Are you waiting to see what happens?
I think Throden's going to try and figure out where Lison is if he's not here.
Lison's clothes are on the ground at the base of the tree.
Oh, no.
And you might hear a rustling in some bushes off in the distance. Lauren, I rolled a survival check.
Yeah?
For after my trip to forage for vegetarian food, and I rolled a 6.
So, in Aramel's Rest, there is vegetation, primarily trees and some bushes. So you're not really able to find actual substance, but you find like a bunch of like bush leaves and tree leaves.
Bunch of things, cool. Around. Okay, but yeah, you would hear that as my trip is finishing up. You would hear that some rustling in the bushes off in the distance. They appear to be thorn bushes, and you kind of hear some muttering. But
and you see like his little tail sticking out of the bush, kind of swishing around a little bit.
Yeah, throw them like heads over that way to make sure, like maybe he knows what's going on, or maybe he needs help.
You would just hear Lison muttering, "I have totally messed up. I have made a complete ass of myself. Why did I do these things? No one's going to like me. I can make this right." Like that kind of stuff.
Lison, are you all right?
Well, yeah. Oh. Yes, hello, Throden. It's just me, and I stand up, and I'm just stark naked, waving at you. Some thorn bushes. You can see little pokies in me, little burrs stuck on me.
Like this butt cheek.
Yep, as I make my way out of the bushes, carrying a bunch of detritus that I think is vegetarian food.
What is happening?
I'm just going to make dinner. I'm sorry, I must have wandered off in my stupor. And then I look down and realize I'm naked, and I'm like, oh, whoopsies.
The others are not responding when I speak to them.
They will probably...
Is something wrong?
They will take their time, most likely. They are probably still on their journey. Come, let's warm up by the fire and wait for them. As I make my way back and throw on my pants and...
Yeah. So, you make your way back, you sit down by the fire, and you can hear a lot of hubbub going on back at the establishment you guys were just in, and 10 minutes pass, 20 minutes pass, half an hour passes, and finally, you're cooking the entire time.
I'm cooking the food, yeah.
It's about an hour and 10-ish minutes later when everyone finally comes back. You guys have throbbing headaches, and you are thirsty, and maybe a little bit munchy. Who knows?
I think Raquel would wake up and gasp and grab her chest and then run back into the brothel.
Okay.
Lison would serve a plate to Fennel, and he would say, "Here, my friend, you should probably eat something. Don't worry, it's vegetarian."
Thank you, Lison. I am rather hungry.
I have mistaken that word for a long time, knowing exactly what vegetarian means. I just was trying to push my views on you, and I am sorry.
Fennel actually smiles and is like, "Apology accepted."
And I shush him with a finger on his mouth, and I say, "Shh, shh, you just sit there and be pretty." And I walk. I walk into the tavern following Raquel.
I look at the others like, what? And I look at the plate. Is it obviously just like branches and that kind of stuff? Like it can't be eaten.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I mean, it. He tried.
And then I look out the window. I mean, don't sit there and be pretty. You just be you. Be happy, Fennel. And then I would go back to the tavern.
There's a couple like pine cones or something, like acorns or pine cones or something on there. Like completely not edible stuff. But an attempt was made.
I pretend to like take a bite. It's like good. This is like I'm full. I should return this to the earth. Now this is like, and I like bury in a bush.
So Raquel Turton, Urpex, what are you doing?
I think I'm just gonna make myself some food and have something nice and greasy, something that'll really sink to the bottom of my gut, and then maybe would Lison start, you know, stay up a little bit later and tell stories of different trips.
Okay.
compare tripping war stories.
Yeah, because, I mean, you did just spend the entire last session, like, throwing up and trying to not die. So you're a little hungry, so that greasy food does help.
Yes, especially with that stomach.
It does. And Raquel and Lison are in back in the brothel.
I'm Fennel, less restorationing anybody that's still sick.
There's a lot of people, so you're
going to use two spell slots on those who look like can help other people.
Okay. Throden and Fennel, are you guys staying out by this campfire, this impromptu camp, or?
I'm probably going inside to check on Raquel since she just ran inside.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I'm just like munching on some mushrooms.
I am probably going back to the bath because I just remembered Fennel is still naked.
Oh no, he had his clothes. He grabbed his clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you grabbed your clothes.
Yeah, you grabbed your clothes and you put him back on.
Okay,
you're not naked, boy.
I ask him. Then I look at Urpex. Is like, so, did you see anything?
What?
During this, I suppose it was a vision quest. I never experienced that before. Did you see anything in your vision?
Vision? I was just taking a nap.
Oh. well, it didn't make much sense, but I think I saw something, and I kind of like tell the whole thing what I saw, like of the Zirzigar mountains and the light and the dragon that was constantly changing colors. Like, it's like, does that mean anything to you?
No, but one time I had a dream that all my teeth fell out, and and I was naked. So, you know, I've had some shit happen to me too, kid. And I just pat you on the shoulder. Wrong guy to go to for advice. Sorry.
Yeah. Is there really anybody to go to for advice here?
Right. Raquel, you rush back into the brothel, and some of your girls are crying and trying. They're kind of surrounding a body, but you're not sure whose. But what are you doing?
I'm running immediately to my office.
Okay, you run to your office. It's completely disheveled.
Okay, I'm gonna start rummaging through everything to see if I can find my box or if I can find my necklace or any of the items. I know. Sorry.
No, that's fine. The box is laying face down on the ground, and as you pick it up, the glass shards fall out from the glass that was in it earlier, and it seems to be completely empty. Your necklace is nowhere to be found, nor are any of the remnants of the contents of the box gone.
Raquel is gonna Disney princess style crumble and just start crying. Like, throws her head, like, on a chair and just starts falling.
Throw, did you walk in? No, let's see this one play out first. Hang on, shut. Throw walks in.
I'm ugly crying, okay?
He stabbed me! Stole my shit!
Yeah, Throden kind of stands there awkwardly. Like, oh no, she's broken.
I could see me ugly crying for like a little bit and then like
I think Threadum walks over and like tries to give Raquel a hug.
Are you gonna hug me? Or are you gonna pat me on the back? I need to see what this looks like, Throden.
Yeah, I know.
What have we got going on? And, you
know, he's gonna walk over and put his arms around you like a hug.
Oh, like
I would imagine that Raquel would get up and like kind of hug you back and
all his mushrooms are getting wet now.
Oh.
Oh, I know. There's like, oh my god, there's so much water. There's
I don't like that.
It doesn't help. She's in the water genasi.
Yeah.
It's more of like flooding. Oh my God. Can it flood the room?
I just.
It's like anime girl crying.
Oh, yeah. Or like Alice in Wonderland. Like fills the room.
My wife texted me from the other room, by the way, to tell me that my ugly crying sounded realistic. So, just a quick update on my life.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's so good.
I need you to play all of our ugly cries for her. And
yeah, it's okay. True. I'll have
1 through 5.
It'll be the first time she's listened to the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
She'll probably have a blast out of that.
So I think, you know, after a minute, I don't know, Throden, are you going to say anything to me?
No, I think Throden's just going to stand there and like hope someone else shows up because he doesn't know what else to do.
Lisa, go for it, buddy.
Oh yeah, Lisa came in, huh?
Or he said he was going to.
I'm just wearing pants and I'm like,
thank you.
Oh, hey, what's going on? And I pull a handkerchief out, but it's got some stains on it of odd nature, and I reach it out to you and I'm like,
is it stiff?
Yes, it's just stiff. No, it just hasn't been washed in a while. It's a handkerchief.
I don't need Lisa.
Don't be crying. It's all good. Everything is happy. We just went on a journey. What happened?
My love is gone. All my things are gone.
Wow, man. Hold on. Just take a breath. Sometimes the post-trip reflection is the most important part.
This is not a trip. This is real. I'm just clicking it.
Slow walk out. It's the door closing.
I think Fennel and Erpex would eventually get into the building.
Would you?
I was like,
absolutely not. With the sounds coming out of that building, no. Pass.
I look at Erpex. Is like, should we check in on them?
Have I been a great source of comfort and advice for you?
Good point. I'll go check on them.
you would pass Lisan, and I would say, don't go in there. There's lots of tears, my friend. This is not the time.
Maybe she just needs a friend to talk to.
Go ahead.
You do your thing. I'm not in the business of telling you what to do and what not to do anymore. So
I like slowly open the door, like creak, and like pop my head in. It's like, is everything okay?
It doesn't sound like I'm okay.
Throden just looks over at Fennel like, hell.
Is he still holding onto a cow?
As like I move over to Raquel and like maybe like stiffenly put my arms up like if she wants a hug for me now is like to help out.
This isn't passing a baby.
Except it is Stephanie.
Like
hot potato.
Like I like motion throw it into like pass her to me or something like that.
Oh my god.
All right. So yeah, so you want me to throw I thought I'd start to throw her to pass her sure. off to for now. Throden will, you know, move out of the way so that Fennel can hug her, I guess. Yeah.
I like do the awkward like pat on the back.
He like as he does, he kind of like whispers to Fennel, "This doesn't seem to be helping."
my masters told me that it's the monk's job to like offer comfort, and I figured this might help. Like, just I saw this while passing in a village once when somebody was crying. Figured this might help.
Are you gonna give me something?
Like, I'm like doing the hug and patting me on the back.
Okay, all right, I can handle this. This is, darlings, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
It's like, what did you see? It's like, obviously the vision that you saw upsetted you.
Darling, it's going to take too long to explain. I need to go check on my girls. I saw them. They look so distraught. Let's go check on them, and then I can fill you in on why I'm so upset.
Very well. It was like, let's just see what we can do to help.
Okay. So, Lauren, can we go check on, what are their names?
Do you mean Typhoon, Vanity Star, and Phoenix Bright?
Wow.
Yep.
By the way, while this is happening, Yukon has set up the caravan out front and has dragged the body of the assassin.
Okay. Kailito approaches you. Is it, you, do you want help with that?
Tashaun, right?
Cool. Tashaun, yeah, Tashaun. Yeah.
Oh.
Kailito, yeah.
Which one's Kailito? Do I recognize Kailito?
Kailito is the bouncer for this place, for this establishment. He's a giant bear.
Then I say, sure, grab an arm.
He just like actually reaches down and tucks the whole assassin underneath his arm. Got it.
All right, come with me. You're going to see some unpleasant things. Just roll with the punches, okay? Maybe you have some questions you can ask him.
I'm not that smart to ask the questions, but don't tell Kylan I did this. Wait, he listens to the podcast, doesn't he? Womp womp. Jokes on me.
Dumbass bear fuck.
I'm dumbass. I fucked up. And Kailito follows you into this caravan with this assassin tucked under his arm. Raquel, you go back out to go check on your girls. And they are looking down. They're surrounding the body. They're not surrounding the body, but they are sobbing. And as you get closer, as you move them around, you see that your cook is laying face down on the ground.
Samuela?
Samuela.
Ella?
Samuela.
Under my Samuela.
And Samuela has a dagger in their back.
Oh, my darling Samuela.
So I'm going to bend down to Samuela and, you know, try to see, make sure, you know, he's not breathing or...
Pocket the dagger.
Yeah, I was like, does it look familiar? And Throden,
darling, isn't there something you can do?
Oh, no.
Sure is.
Oh my god. It wasn't even thinking.
Oh my god.
Darling Throden, please. It's my darling Samuela.
What?
Oh boy.
Throden looks at like it goes and like examines the body and they're super dead, right?
Oh yeah. Super dead. And then like as you go ahead and make me a medicine check.
19.
So you're looking over the body and you see where the dagger entered, there's green and black veins surrounding the wound, so it looks like it was poisoned.
There is not much I can do to save your friend. They are already dead.
But my Throden, you're so wonderful. You can't come up with anything.
Well, I could reanimate her, but that is not the same.
How much do I love Samuel L. Lauren?
That's up to you.
I think I love Samuel a lot. Darling, anything. One of the last things I have to hold on to. Please, anything.
Oh, I'm going to regret this.
You are.
I know.
This is going to get bad real fast.
I mean, did you ever see the movie Pet Sematary?
No, and that's probably why I haven't learned my lesson.
Throden kind of like, you know, stops and like looks you straight in the eyes and says, "This will not bring her." Is it a her or him?
It was a him, but that's fine.
Well, whatever.
No, I know. I understand the mistake.
You know what? Throden might not even be able to tell the difference.
That's a valid point.
Fair enough.
But Throden says, "They will not be. I cannot bring them back. It is not something I can do. I can make them like," and he kind of motions to the zombie standing behind him, "but that is not the same."
Carl, start ugly crying again. Water everywhere. Raquel is broken. Take that for what you will, Ben. It's mostly, honestly, I mostly did that to make you uncomfortable.
He's not the only one. Are you going to
text me Throden / Ben?
Throden will give Raquel another hug as she starts crying again.
Oh, did I teach you to be human? I mean, or have emotions. Human, but you know. Throden, I understand what you're saying. I know. I've never felt this way before. We need to go. My darling ladies, I don't know what to tell you. Just go. This place is gone. Go live your life. And I hug them all.
They look horrified by what you just said. What do you mean? It's still here. We're still here. What do you mean it's gone? We could still do this.
Ladies, this is yours. I love what? You three more than anything, and the Maison Derrière is, I want nothing to do with this awful place. It is yours.
Treat
it well. I'll come back and visit you because I love you all so dearly, but I want nothing to do with this anymore. And I'm going to hug them.
Okay. They look very, like, looked at you surprised and slack-jawed. But they take your hug, and Typhoon, as you hug her, she says, "Are you sure this is what you want? What is happening, Raquel?"
"The only thing that kept me here is now gone. So, I'm going to go and try to find the only reason I still exist in this world. And I'm going to go find him. I'll come back and see you if I survive. But I'm off. And this is all yours. Treat it well. It is your home. It is your business. Goodbye, my ladies." And I walk away.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You broke me. You done broke me, Lauren.
There's some things worse than death.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
The one you've been looking for has been right in front of you the whole time. Lison's here.
In the arms of the tiefling.
The arms of the changeling? Is that what you said?
No, it's a tiefling.
Oh! Even
wow.
So, Lauren...
Yes, Sean.
Can I do a thing?
You're going to do the thing. Do
I'm
it.
Gonna I want to try and it. Game. I'm going to try and game the system. You tell me if it's feasible or not.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to, first of all, cast Speak with Dead.
Okay.
Okay. On okay. this assassin.
Roll a percentage dice and call high or low.
High. 56.
Okay.
So that works?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm going to cast Zone of Truth. I don't know if that works or not.
Let me. Oh my god, my text is so tiny. Oh no. Until the spell ends, a creature that enters the spell's area on the first time. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Who are you trying to talk to, Sean?
The dead assassin in my caravan.
Ooh.
There's no concentration on either of them.
There's not. Yeah. Well, here's the problem, babe. Oh, wait, no, hold on. Wait. Well, let me read this again.
So, who's the little gray stick figure? Is it? Oh, that's a zombie.
Because the verbiage makes this really interesting.
That's what I'm contemplating, because technically it's
because dead, technically, but technically he has to answer somehow, because it says answers are usually brief, so there is an answer, but it can be evasive, but it has to speak truthfully in the zone of truth. Mm-hmm. So, but it's got to make a charisma save.
Oh, this is gonna be rich. Let's make this work. Sean will make this work. I don't damn rules. I don't care what they say right now.
And they have
thank you, Lauren. Zombie
stats.
You're welcome. No, we're gonna use the assassin stats.
Yeah, I'd say go ahead and use his stats because it's his consciousness.
Yeah, it's his consciousness. And charisma, you said? This is fucking hilarious. 16.
So it's saved.
Mm. Okay.
What about the other guy that's in there? The Kalito.
Let's see what Kalito rolls. 4.
And I too have to roll.
Yep.
It was a charisma saving throw.
Yep.
Where is it? 25. Okay, 25, so I see. Okay. So I look down at this assassin and I get really serious. And I just say off the bat, I say, you have attempted a grave, evil thing to my friends. What have you to say for yourself?
There's a whispery voice that just responds. He consumes all.
What is the race of this creature?
It's a drow.
It's a drow.
You flip off the hood of the assassin and you are looking at a drow.
Okay, and I rummage through my things, and I've got a bunch of weird knickknacks in here, right? Would I have like a symbol of Lolth in here anywhere?
I don't think you would.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, no. Then I would just say, are you a follower of Lolth?
Lolth is no god.
I look over at Kylito, then I look at the, and I say to Kylito, sorry for this one. And I look down at the drow and I say, I'm going to murder your family and all of your friends. How does this make you feel?
It doesn't matter. I am already dead. What is set in stone shall not be changed.
What is the most important thing to you?
Sean, that's good. Vengeance.
Where can I find Krizakith?
He'll find you.
Oh. That's it?
That's it.
And this is from Kylito?
No, this is from the assassin.
That's what I thought. Jesus. I was like, what are you doing?
I'm gonna take out a knife and I say, Kylito, you may want to leave. But okay. Before you go, who do you love?
Oh, I love Can I elect to not answer?
Yes, I guess. You're no fun. All right, be off
with you. But wait. Can I tell? I decided. I changed my mind. I'm going to tell you. You promise you won't tell anyone?
I promise I won't tell anyone.
Not a soul.
Not a soul.
Okay. I am in love with Mumber. And then he darts out the door.
Okay, as he does that, I slam the dagger into the sternum of this drow, and I rip it down the rib cage, breaking the sternum as I go down. Jeez. And I rip open its chest cavity, and I cut out his heart, and I put it in a jar.
Woo.
Oh, damn. Okay, so make me a survival check. And then I store
the body under the bed.
Can you make me a survival check real fast? Yes, just to see? Okay.
10.
It's gruesome. It's bloodied. But you're able to do it.
Okay.
Also, make me a quick perception check.
19.
As you're doing this, as you're harvesting this heart into a jar, you turn to look back at the carcass, and it has a a purple tendril, like almost like a worm wiggling in it.
Huh. From where? What part of the body?
It's kind of like back where the spine was at, almost. It's kind of closer towards the spine, but it was like creeping up towards the heart.
I'm going to cut it out, unless it's just free, and I want to grab it myself and put it into a jar.
You reach out and grab it, and it wraps around you. And that's actually where we're going to end tonight's episode.
Oh, shit. Great.
Well, Sean, time to make your third character. Right?
Toodles.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.